How many of you have ever sold a car as a private sale? Maybe in your front yard or advertised it in the shopper, one of those scenarios. Well, the story I'm about to tell you is a true story, and it may keep you from ever doing that again. The phone call arrived in the evening, and the gentleman wanted to come to the house to see the 2002 Ford Excursion the pastor had for sale. He lived in Augusta, and the gentleman arrived. He seemed like a nice enough fella, and he negotiated the price from the very start. The offer he made was much, much less than what the pastor's family was hoping to receive for their 2002 Ford Excursion. With that being said, the pastor said to the gentleman, "Why don't you go ahead and take it for a spin? See if it fits you, if you like it. And I'll talk to my wife and we'll determine whether or not we can accept that offer." A few moments went by. A few hours went by. And the 2002 Ford Excursion never reappeared. The car was stolen. Now, I don't know how you would feel in this situation, but as a Christian, especially as a pastor, you would want to be as calm and collect as possible. But this pastor and his family, they were irate. They couldn't believe their excursion was gone. They were dependent upon that income to survive. And they were hoping that they could bless this family with the offer that they had made. But instead, this vehicle had been stolen. This leads us this morning to a discussion about life's curveballs. I don't know why life throws us curveballs, but it does. Why on earth God ever decided to create snakes, to create mosquitoes, hurricanes, tornadoes, gnats, and flies is beyond me. But he did. And you know, life can really, really hurt sometimes. I've asked the same question many of you have asked. Why? Why do you allow suffering and pain? Why don't you just take it away? Why, God, can't you help us? Where are you when life doesn't make sense? We believe God is all powerful. So therefore, he could stop all evil and suffering. We believe that God is all loving. So therefore, he would stop all evil and suffering. So if we believe that God could and that God should, why is it sometimes it feels as though he's not even there? Perhaps this morning your faith has been under fire. Perhaps the trials, the struggles, the suffering you have experienced have brought you to a point of questioning and doubting God's existence. I can't even begin to answer all the questions of life. But there are some realities this morning that we need to come to grips with regarding the question of suffering. The first reality is this: the gift of life allows the capacity to hurt. Freedom is oftentimes followed up with consequences. It's true that sometimes we suffer because of our sins, the consequence of our action. The person who has smoked all of his life can't be saddened by the diagnosis of lung cancer. The absent husband who pursued his career at the expense of his marriage can't be devastated by his wife who's not home when he returns from work one day. Our actions receive consequences. consequences. You see, God has given humankind freedom. We're not creatures who are void of choice. We don't serve God and live in His created world as robots without free choice and decision making. Isaiah 41:10 emphasizes this point. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What we come to understand is Jesus is very present. Jesus is meticulously involved in our lives. Even when we can't understand why we do not hear from Him, or where He may be as a result of the suffering, the fear that we're going through. God encourages us to ask the tough questions. He's not insecure, folks. He is God. He's not afraid of our questions. He has the answers. God knows that the hardships and the cruelties of life will raise tough questions in our minds. And unlike some of His insecure servants, He does not demand blind, unquestioning obedience. But sometimes we must simply wrestle with what is and hold on to what we know. But that doesn't always mean we have to like it. The Scripture's very straightforward when it points to rejoicing in our sufferings. But I'm not very good at that. And I'm not sure how well you do either. This morning I'm going to show a video clip. Some of you may recall the documentary about Bethany Hamilton. She was born to surf, a natural talent who took to the waves at a young age. She was leading a calm, sun-drenched surfer's girl life on the Kauai coast and competing in national competitions when everything changed in a heartbeat. It was Halloween morning. Bethany was on a typical ocean outing when suddenly her dreams seemed to be shattered. Let's take a look at some footage.
Fireman, you get the shore. Go, hold on. with us, sweetie, okay? Stay with us.
Please, Jesus. Uh-huh. Please.
Alana, you keep on the board. Keep on the board.
Give me the vision.
Bro, sir. Gonna be okay.
Dr. Bravinsky, we need this from STAT. It's a teenage girl from the North Shore. Shark attack.
Who? Who is it?
No, I'll check it out, Tom. I'll check it out.
Stay with me, Beth. Kalana, get over here.
Morning, Mom.
Hey, when did you go night surfing?
Night surfing?
Hey, the ambulance is coming, all right? I know. We're going to get your mom. We're going to get your mom.
Wait. What?
Dad, I called 911. I called her mom.
Okay. Grab the foot of the board, okay? Grab it. I'm counting. Ready? One, two. Go. Yeah, take up the truck. Let's get her up there right now. Come on. Talk to me. Watch your step right there.
Where are the ambulance at? They're not here yet.
Don't worry about the ambulance. We'll meet her down the way.
Alana, get the board.
Get her out. All right.
Do you know if she hit her head or ever lost consciousness?
No, she never passed up, but she lost a lot of blood.
Here we go. Careful. Easy. Go today. Okay, lock her in.
Please,
don't die. Got
it, bro? Come on, sweetie.
There's no real good spot to stop the video clip, so we're just going to stop it here. If you want to watch the rest of the video, it's called Soul Surfer. The good news is she does end up being okay. The doctor says it's a miracle that she's able to function with one arm, and she actually goes on to surf in national championships again. It's a story that reminds us of the fragility of life. It's a story that reminds us that we live each day to the fullest, not knowing when something tragic may happen. Perhaps this morning you're sitting here and there's a vengeance against someone. Perhaps you've been dealing with a sin for a very long time. Perhaps you've been dealing with a lot of fear in your life. Perhaps after watching this footage, you've asked the same question I've asked. God, why did this happen? Have you ever questioned God because of the circumstances and situations, the suffering and pain in your life? It's a bloody, awful mess, and that's all there is to it. The Bible is full of questions. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do times of trouble happen? How long will you hide your face from me? When the communist countries of Eastern Europe were finally liberated, the following words were found penned on the wall of a prison cell in one of those countries. It read, "I believe in love, even when I don't feel it. I believe in God, even when he is silent." Perception can be our enemy. We must not assume God's silence or apparent inactivity is evidence of his disinterest. How we feel about God as a result of our suffering in no way changes who God really is. Loving God, growing in faith with him, does not guarantee a happy, carefree life. Just because somebody may be going through tough times and hurting does not mean that God is not at work. John 16:33, Jesus tells his disciples that they should anticipate suffering. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." With God, even when nothing is happening, something is happening. We must learn to believe in the truth, not how we feel. He has a perfect plan in all things, even when we struggle and hurt. It's mind-boggling to conceive or begin to understand, but we must trust there is. There's a story about a man who found a cocoon of the emperor moth and took it home to watch it emerge. One day a small opening appeared, and for several hours the moth struggled but couldn't seem to force its body past a certain point. Deciding something was wrong, the man took scissors and snipped the remaining bit of cocoon. The moth emerged easily, its body large and swollen, the wings small and shriveled. He expected that in a few hours the wings would spread out in their natural beauty, but they never did. Instead of developing into a creature free to fly, the moth spent its life dragging around a swollen body and shriveled wings. You see, the constricting cocoon and struggle was necessary to pass through the tiny opening, which was God's way of forcing fluid from the body into the wings. The merciful snip was in reality cruel. Sometimes, as unbearing as it appears, the struggle is exactly what we need. Our second reality this morning is that the healing we want for our pain and suffering isn't all that easy. We can't always find God in our situation. It's not to say he's absent. It's to say, however, that sometimes we don't see him. We don't feel him. As John the Baptist lay imprisoned for his faith, he did what any one of us would have done. He questioned where he was at and what was going on. It's in Matthew 11:3. John sends a message to Jesus from his prison cell, and he asks, "Are you the one, or should we expect someone else?" Understand, he had not given up on Jesus by any means. But if you are going to lose your head over something, first check out the questions that are swirling inside of it. James Dobson, in his book, When God Doesn't Make Sense, writes this: "Interestingly enough, pain and suffering do not cause the greatest damage. Confusion is the factor that shreds one's faith. The human spirit is capable of withstanding enormous discomfort, including the prospect of death, if the circumstances make sense. You and I can understand this by the many martyrs, by the political prisoners and war heroes who died willingly and confidently for what they believed in. They understood the sacrifice they were making and accepted its meaning in their lives. In John 6, we read where Jesus spits on the ground and makes clay. Then he applies it to the eyes of the blind man, and he told him to go wash it off. The mud pack was hardly the healing I would have preferred. Just touch my eyes and heal me, Jesus. What's with the spit and the mud? Maybe that's why the duration of our suffering is extended. We're looking for another way, for another alternative. Maybe we're resisting God's present interaction because it's not what we expected. Some questions simply don't have the answers we hope for. In the story from John 9, 25, when the man was questioned a second time about who Jesus was and how he enabled the man to see, the man responds, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." No one seems to understand what's going on here. The man's parents are called to verify this about their blind son, and they can't begin to explain why he can see. The Pharisees, they're definitely confused, and the people who are witnessing all of this are looking for the answers from others. The harsh reality is that pain and suffering doesn't always have explanations, but they do come with a promise from God, and it's this: I am with you. Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." The third reality is that we can't go through our pain alone. We must share it with others. The way through suffering to find our healing is to allow others to help us. The man was born blind. He lived as a beggar. Yet after Jesus applied the mud pack to his eyes, he tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, how do you think a blind man with mud on his eyes could physically move from where he was to where he was told to go? This man had help. The Christian faith is a helping hand. We're in it together. One of the greatest truths of the church is that we are all members of one body, and if one member hurts, we all hurt. Tornadoes, fires, flooding have torn apart parts of the world, and there's much pain and devastation, but they're not alone. We hurt for them as well, and as Christians, we'll stand by them and help them get back to their feet. I know, as difficult times arise, it's hard for us to accept help. I'm not saying solo suffering may not eventually see you through to healing. But consider how much care, how much love and help you are missing by not sharing with those around you. If God doesn't seem to make sense in your life right now because of what you're going through, I invite you to reach out to others. Allow them to help you. I'm convinced that suffering is not God's way to punish us. The tornadoes, the fires, the flooding were not sent to punish those areas. I do believe and have experienced it firsthand that through suffering, through fear, we can discover God's love for us in a way that we never thought possible. I don't think we have to like suffering. I personally pray I don't have to experience much more of it. But this is my hope and prayer, when it does show up on the front porch of our lives, may we be willing to say this: help me, God, to hold on to you when everything I believe and feel is being questioned. How about each of us this morning? Have we ever wondered where God has been in our lives lately? Have our hurts and sufferings separated us from the God we know and love and put our belief system in question? I invite the praise team to come to the front. And if you're able this morning, and if you're willing, to please stand. If you're finding yourselves amidst a time of suffering, amidst a time of questioning God, amidst a time where you're full of fear, you're not certain of what's going to happen. And if anyone's willing to stand, I'd ask those around them to surround them with love as you place your hands on them. Or you can sit where you are and we'll simply pray. Lord Jesus, you know our hearts. You know the trials, you know the suffering, you know the pain, you know the fear that is very present in our lives. But Lord, we cling to the promise that you are with us always. Lord, we cling to the hope that one day this pain and suffering will end. And Lord, it's okay to have questions. You invite them. But Lord, when we don't receive the answer we expect, may we still trust in you. May we still go on living in that love that you have given us so freely through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.